Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight.
Pew!
It's Kyle Rush. It's Ben Taylor. And we're ready to rock and roll. Ben had a long weekend.
Oh.
Up in Beeham.
Yeah. Survived.
And survived. Had a good time. Spent some time with the family. And now we're getting caught up for everything that he could and may have missed over the
weekend. I missed a ton because I told Kyle, I got by the pool, shared my bug hat. Got asked about my bug hat from one of the dudes at the pool that was wearing an Auburn hat, told him to go to aushirts.com to buy more.
You know, somebody ordered a bug hat over the weekend.
I wonder if it was that dude.
It wasn't the one you had, but
well, I took two of them. I took the pink one. I took the orange and blue one. I wore both days.
Somebody bought the one that was just the one I have. It's this one right here.
Yeah.
So if you're listening, that's terrible listening content. But if you got the members only subscription, you saw the ad I was talking about. So
I love it. Cool. So being out of town this weekend, of course, all I could do was keep up like via social media and Twitter because there's no sports when you go to your daughter's apartment to go watch anything. It was even tough to keep up with a golf tournament. But a few things, and Kyle, I want to touch on this. There's recruiting that took place over the weekend where I saw some blasts, including Golish, his war dam. He dropped one. So then I saw that getting retweeted. Then I start finding names out. Jackson Koivun, of course, turns pro last week, but going to play as an amateur this week in the U.S. Open, but does pick up his sponsor, which, by the way, I got another take on that I'll bring up a little bit later on. But first, let's do recruiting because – the hits keep on coming for the guy that's not supposed to be able to recruit in the Southeastern Conference and is supposed to only be able to get 2, 3, and maybe an occasional 4-star every now and then. But apparently Alex Golish and staff has said, you know what? Screw you. We can do whatever we want. We can bring in whoever we want to bring in. Quit reading the headlines and be who you say you are.
Yeah, I mean, stop me if you've heard this before, but Auburn gets another commit from a 4-star. It's becoming a weekend tradition as they add another 4-star, Nate Komba, defensive lineman. First of all, let's check some boxes. 4-star. Boom, yep. I'm in. Defensive lineman, I'm doubly in.
Yes.
6'4", 300, I'm in. Triple. Let's go. And then had other SEC offers and you beat all of them out for him and you get him in and get him done in a weekend. It's awesome, man. They're going toe-to-toe with all of them.
Was this another one that had Georgia's name out beside it? Did I see that?
He did. I think it was really more so Auburn and South Carolina. I don't know that Georgia was necessarily pushing. They really want Carlos May, which is we may talk about in a minute.
Yeah.
Even though they're not really they're not really the same position. But yeah, Auburn gets another one. Funny story, Ben. So I think I told you about this. I was playing golf Friday morning and I show up to AU Club and it is packed. It was a morning tee time. So it was absolutely slammed. I'm like, man, what's going on? And they're having, so some of the guys came in Thursday night.
Okay.
For official visits, and they had a breakfast for all the recruits that morning. So Golish is in there, like literally everybody on staff. I talked with Andrew Warsaw in the gift shop. It shocked me to see him because I wasn't expecting. I was like, "Hey, what you doing? You buying swag? Are you about to go tee off?" And Joe kind of joking around. He goes, "Man, if I was teeing off, then it'd probably be because I got fired because we're having some official visit breakfast, but." I say all that to say, man, they just are they fit in with the recruiting landscape around here. You got a fleet of Wagoneers taking people to and fro. Like it's just awesome. They're impressive.
And they take them there, and of course, then they get to see the Charlie Five
I didn't go meet any of them, but I did talk to some of the coaches, and I mean, it was coaches and support staff. It was everybody.
Yeah, it's probably got something to do with rules, too, if they'd introduced you. You couldn't admit that publicly. But I will say, after that commit came, I came real close because I saw it on Twitter. I came real close to going, Kyle and I have not even hit record yet, and you guys are going ahead and getting recruits to commit.
They got one in that we could – they got one in way before we hit record. So technically, though – no, because he committed on Sunday. Never mind.
Middle of Sunday.
Yeah. So
it still was way before we recorded. If we'd have recorded a show Sunday, that's when it would have happened. I promise.
Oh, for sure.
When the commitment would have taken place. Well, let me ask you this. You mentioned May, Carlos May, which isn't he the August 2nd or August?
August 11th.
August 11th. I knew he was coming up in August. He was going to make his. Does this sway anything? I mean, you just mentioned in briefly just a minute ago that technically kind of not the same position, but is the same position. So does this affect anything? Or is this another thing of what I've told you over and over, the success begets success, where you never know. I mean, they just be stockpiling right now.
Yeah, so anytime you have interior defensive linemen, you kind of feel like at some point, you know, they could probably play both of those positions. But I think Carlos May is a true, like, nose tackle. And then Combo is more of like that quicker defensive tackle, that three technique. And that's kind of what he said in his exit interviews. So I know Auburn, they want to take more interior guys. So in theory, it should not affect anything.
Yeah.
If anything, Combo's more like Donovan Moore. Donovan Moore's probably a little bit more leaner, a little bit more athletic, but they're honestly, those two are going to be more in the same boat than what a Carlos May is. I'm wondering if, though, it maybe helps Auburn from a leverage standpoint, though, because it's pretty clear Carlos May is being instructed to not only not tip his hand, but also like almost mislead a little bit. Like, Ben,
okay,
the week prior, he comes off his official visit from Georgia and he says, Georgia's probably my number one. And he's like, yeah, go ahead, publicize that. Let's make sure that's out there. They're my number one, because he's about to go visit Auburn and, you know, they're going to talk about, you know, money and NIL. And then it's Auburn and Georgia. And then he makes sure to let everybody know, no, it's not Auburn and Georgia. I got a top four. Ohio State's in there, because where do you think he's going this coming weekend?
He's got another – yeah, he's got to visit Ohio State, of course.
So it's, if you're a fan, it's
– is that him or is that his representation?
Oh, it's 100% representation.
Yeah.
Like, so as a fan, that's aggravating. But if you look at it kind of unbiased and think about it the way that they're thinking about it, this is their – maybe one of their one big shots to have as much value as they possibly, or give as much value as they possibly can. I mean, this is the way that you do it. Unfortunately, it stinks. I feel like the kid wants to be at Auburn, but at the same time, like, they're not going to let him make a unwise, I guess, financial decision. So I think it's going to be, I think the money's going to be about the same anywhere he goes. They'll have to stay in there. They'll have to stay there and grind. And I know DJ wants him really bad. Von Trail wants him really bad, and they're not going to give in. So, obviously, you've got to wait a little bit longer. Got to survive a visit to Ohio State and see what happens on the end of it.
Well, when it comes to what you're talking about that quote-unquote play in the game, that hey, let's release this, let's say this, let's do this. And it's not the same position, so the story is not necessarily that similar. But, you know, I told you, the one I always keep going back to is a couple of years ago, the Michigan quarterback that signed for, quote-unquote, $10 million. His representation – yes. Underwood's representation played the game as best you could, where he was like, I'm going to Lincoln Riley at USC, going to talk to him. Of course, that drove the price up for Michigan. You know, I'm going to Michigan. I'm going to Ohio State.
I'm going to commit to LSU.
Yeah, I'm going to commit to LSU. Like, it's – unfortunately, when NIL first became a thing a few years ago, or a couple of years ago, ever who is in his camp did a great job of kind of setting the roadmap of how you can drive the price up. Because he went from – I mean, he went from a couple of million dollars to guaranteed 10 at Michigan. And everybody goes, well, maybe he could have got more. I don't know, man. At 18, if somebody hands me $10 million up front, I'm good. You know what I mean? Like, if it doesn't quite work out, I'm probably doing okay with that. So that has set that roadmap so guys like May and his representation can go, okay, it went great at Georgia. Now we're going to visit Auburn. Hey, don't want to pigeonhole Georgia and Auburn, because I got Ohio State too. You think Ohio State's NIL guys and, you know, they're on to victory guys are not going to be sitting in the room going, okay, what do we need to do to keep this kid on campus at Ohio State? So There's going to be a number thrown out there, and then his representation will come back and hit Georgia back up and hit Auburn back up and say, hey, this is where we are, and go from there. So,
yeah, the only thing I just wonder – I don't know Alex Gullish personally. I just go based off of what I see and what I hear, and I don't think – I think he's a pretty real guy. I just wonder, like, how much more he would take of this.
Oh, I firmly believe he won't take a whole lot of it. I firmly believe he is one that will – I don't know if – that's a game you play, Kyle. What does he do? Does he say, you know, I'm going to cut bait, but I'm going to let one of my guys underneath me, like, continue to stay in contact with him just to let him know we're still interested. But, you know,
yeah, I don't
the
know.
the head coach himself is like, no, I'm done with this. And because you can do that. I mean, that's kind of like negotiating in sales. I mean, you know, the boss man may say, nah, this deal is closed and move on. But then the boss man tell you as a sales rep, hey, keep going back. Keep firing. You know, keep firing shots his way. See what we get. So, I do think he's savvy enough to do something like that. But I also think I fall in the camp of Alex Gullish, where he's kind of a no nonsense guy, where he's like, we're not doing the game thing. This is your number. This is what we would love to have you at. This is what our plan is for you. You in or out? Like, I need to know. And because if you're out, then I'm going somewhere else. Like, I got other things I need to focus on. And he comes across – I don't know that person. I've not sat in a room with him when he makes that pitch. I don't know. But that's
– it feels that way.
That's the way it comes across.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you.
As a media person, the way he talks to all of us and the way – the messaging he gives, usually that's the same person that is sitting in the room with mom and dad and grandma too. So you don't get – you know, people go, well, what's Saban like? I'm like, he's that way on a recruiting trail too. Like, that's what you saw in the press conference is how he acts in front of parents too. So, I mean, Leopard doesn't change his spots. So I'll be interested to see. You want to do an ad read before we get to more?
Yeah, let's do one really quick.
We've already given one pitch on
you already talked about AUShirts.com, but we might as well just keep going. I mean, go to AUShirts.com. You can get your Boog hats, Boog shirts, Boog hoodies, and then all the other sayings that we're doing. I'm working on a couple of new logos. I got one for hands on neck, which is one of the things that Gullish says going into the fourth quarter, which I kind of dig.
Instead of foot on neck, it's hands on neck.
Hands on neck. Okay, so we're going ahead and working those out.
There's so many ways south that could go. I don't
know. A lot of fun stuff at AUShirts.com, and then you can go to buyauburn.com as well. If you're a business owner, it's less than $1 a day to advertise your business and let everybody know you're an Auburn-owned business. I just don't think there's any better value out there for advertising than buyauburn.com right now. So check it out. And then if you're shopping, wanting to look for a service, and you're an Auburn person, start with Auburn people. And you can start at buyauburn.com.
I'll just go ahead and tell you, I'm in advertising. It's a good deal.
You can't beat it, man.
So if anybody's curious, they're like, well, what does that measure? I can tell you right now. The product we sell, it's a good deal. So jump on it today. All right. So anything else I missed on recruiting over the weekend?
I think that's pretty much it. It was a smaller weekend as far as visitors go. And then you got another smaller weekend coming up this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple of guys in there you can make a run for.
You think it's tougher when there aren't activities going on campus, or do you think it really doesn't matter? Cause they kind of stay within themselves anyway. So it's not like, plus when they go to, let's just say they go to a baseball game, they're there, not the whole nine innings. They're usually there making an appearance and then they'll go elsewhere for dinner or something like that. So
I really don't think activities have anything to do with at least this particular class. I mean, we only had two commits for how many months? Like, you had two commits for a really long time, and then all of a sudden you just started reeling them off. So, no, later, like after all the activities are done, like after basketball season's over.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think they're going to many baseball games, but I don't think it has anything to do with the activity so far. They've just been really efficient on their visits.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like the whole staff is kind of on the same page on that. On the efficiency wise, let's talk a little golf. If you're okay,
let's do it.
So Jackson Coivin announces he's going to go pro, which is no surprise. I know I tried to make the pitch on here, even on Afternoon Delight. I was like, oh, please, another year. Let's just do it one more year. After I saw the videos that were released by Malbon, his new clothing sponsor, I realized, oh, there was never a shot because all that stuff was pre-produced. So he's been doing this for quite a while.
Yeah, there was no chance.
Yeah, that was a full-fledged, the whole video that Malbon did. And here's where my rant goes, Kyle. All right. Okay. So my rant starts with Malbon. It's a rant. And it is because I already don't like that clothing supplier because they make Jason Day look like an absolute douchebag on the golf course. And I'm hoping they don't do that Jackson Coyvin, which they said in their statement they weren't. They said he's going to have a younger look. It's going to be
super classic. Yeah.
Super classic slash mix of born on the West Coast yet lived in the South. So I don't know how you mix that and monitor that, but they're going to do that. However, so they announced, I guess it was Friday morning when the official release came out at a little after 7, may have been Thursday morning. I forget which day it was because my weekend's already shot. But the reason the university had to go ahead and put something out is because Malbon released a shot of Auburn. It was like a lot of good things to come. And I'm like, well, we all know that's Jackson Coyvin because he's the only one on the fence about going pro or not. So it's almost like they jumped the gun ahead of Auburn and released the video at like 11 o'clock the night before, within 7:30 is when Auburn had to put out its official statement that Jackson Coyvin is going to the pros, which I know that's not that big of a deal because we all thought that it was. I just thought that was a little tacky of the clothing sponsor to kind of throw it out there first the night before the university, and Jackson actually released his video thanking Auburn and all that kind of stuff.
Do you think that wasn't by design? I'm just out of curiosity. You think they just
I think they may have screwed. I think maybe they either thought he was doing it the day before, or maybe they thought.
They said we're giving you X amount of millions of dollars. We get the break. Your pro announcement.
They may have thought that. Yeah.
That may have had something to do with it.
I mean, it may have had something to do with it. However, you got a couple of horses in the stable that are probably going to turn pro in the next few years. You really want to piss off a team that could funnel guys to your way? So, I don't know. I don't think anybody's mad
about it, if I'm being honest.
I just thought it was tacky. I'm not mad about it at all. Yeah. I'm interested to see what they have him wearing.
It looks pretty classic from the pictures I've seen. Like, it's just
It does. Some of it's been fairly generic. I'm still not a big fan of the Malbon right across the middle of the chest. I'm not a huge proponent.
The ones I see him wearing is it's just a plain solid color polo he's got one with the M on the chest, but it's like where all logos mm-hmm. go, or one with the little golf ball guy.
Yeah, I just don't want to see him in the baggy pants that Jason wears.
He's not that guy, pal.
He and Tommy Fleetwood's gone to the baggy pants, even though he's not a Malbon guy. I'm just not the whole Tiger look.
Yeah, I don't want that to come back.
The '90s. I want to do away with that. And I hope Jackson doesn't turn into that. But I mean, I'm sure it's comfortable.
They got a mint green. They got a mint green polo. Kyle's shopping while we're doing this. I'm about to fire one down on.
So, but I say that to say this, he's competing as an amateur this week.
Right.
Which meaning
because that's how he got his
exemption
into mm-hmm. the U.S. Open. If he played as a pro, he'd lose his exemption.
Right. That question has been brought up. Okay, well, what if he finishes strong? Can he take the prize money since he's not coming back? No. He entered as an amateur. You play as an amateur. He'll finish the tournament as an amateur. He officially turns pro probably 6 p.m. Sunday night. That's essentially when that's going to happen, when he starts to get paid. So – but I did find that interesting that of all people, it was a journalist that asked that question. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Do you not read anything golf publication wise? But your expectations, cause you and I talked about it. He's actually got better odds to win the U.S. Open as the number one amateur in the world than former major winners / guys that ain't playing bad right now. Like Sahith Theegala, he's got better odds than him. And even Sahith is not won a major, he's pretty dang good golfer.
Yeah, he's got, I think, just having better odds than a lot of guys that are playing in the events week in and week out is pretty impressive. I mean, to win the U.S. Open, I would imagine is a long shot, is probably an understatement.
Yeah.
And, you know, he doesn't quite hit the ball as far as a lot of those other guys, but he could probably putt with any of them. So, like, to make the cut, like, outlandish? I don't think so. To be somewhere around, you know, the top 25, like, I don't think that's necessarily out of the question either. So, winning it would be just such a remarkable feat. Like, mm-hmm. It would be so dadgum incredible that it's almost, like, bigger than golf. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it is. So, I mean, I expect him to perform. I expect him, you know, have a shot to make the cut. And then if he makes the cut, I mean, I imagine he's probably going to be playing pretty good golf, and he could be, you know, top 25 to me is not out of the question.
Well, just being a low am, I mean, will prove that he's where he needs to be. If he's, you know, that would be my two goals. If I'm Jackson Coivin, I want to make the cut.
Make the cut, yep.
And I want to be the low amateur.
Sure.
That way I'm beating all the other amateurs that, you know, are lined up beside me. You know, after that, everything's gravy. If he's in the top 30 or 25 or top 20, cool. That's awesome. That's all gravy. Because his first pro tournament is the John Deere Classic is when he's going to be playing, where he will be playing for money. Yeah, a couple of weeks after. So, and that's where he will be able to make money. But I would love to just see a cut made, and then if he makes the cut, as a fan, I'm pulling for him to be the top am finisher. And after that, if we see him in the top 25, kudos to Nick Kleinert and the rest of the Auburn golf team, because that's their representation that's going to be out there with him playing as an am, even though he's announced he's going to be a pro. And that's just another feather in the hat of who should have been the coach of the year in collegiate golf, in my opinion.
No doubt. Did you know that the John Deere was where he finished T11 last year?
Oh, wow.
So that's probably why we go with that one to kick things off. Like, we've got some good juju there. And, hey, that's been a springboard tournament, man. That was Bryson DeChambeau's first win, Jordan Spieth's first win. And if I'm not mistaken, like, a lot of times, I mean, I guess if you win this one, you get an invite. You win that one, you get an automatic invite into the Open is what you – or what you used to anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's still the case. But
no, I think it's still a qualifier. I mean, any of those guys, anytime you win, you're getting a qualifier. And they're going to have to change the qualifying thing up too. We'll get into that later. That's a whole other discussion. But, you know, now that they did away with my favorite term, the Century Tournament of Champions over in Hawaii, like, there's no Hawaii swing anymore. So they got to come up with some new qualifiers for guys to be able to play in more tournaments, because they got to play in those Hawaii tournaments from the previous year, and now those are all gone. So,
yeah,
it's definitely going to be a qualifier for something with the John Deere wheel. And hopefully this is a springboard for his career to come. I mean, his tournaments that he's played in, he's had a few top 20 finishes, even as an AM. And everyone, you always know
how your top 10 finishes, bro.
Exactly. You know how you're doing when your peers think well of you. And like when Justin Thomas is of the world and, you know, other guys that they've talked to, they sit there and they go, no, the guy can play. Like, we're going to love seeing him out here. We're looking forward to it. And he's going to be competing with everybody. He already has as an amateur. So he's going to be somebody to compete. So, and you and I have said nothing against Jackson, because he did great his freshman year, but he's so much better in stroke play to me than he is match play. So he's in his element, in my opinion.
Yeah, this is where he needs to be. I mean, I think, easily. He had, because I think he had three top 10 finishes just last summer on the PGA Tour as an amateur. So, I mean, if he can stay sharp, if he's still playing in that form, like, he's going to make a ton of money, and he's going to rack up a bunch of points, and he's going to get into those signature events and then be somebody really fun to watch against some of the big guns.
Yeah, no doubt.
Good deal. Guys, really appreciate you listening. Make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you got the alert bell hit. And, hey, if you want to watch this video, then remember you got to subscribe to the premium YouTube channel, because we put it up on video every single day. Y'all have a great rest of the week. We're out of here. War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.